Triple M's Rush Hour with JB and Billy starts in less than 10 seconds.
This worries me.
Ask your plumber to install a ring.
Steady, hot and strong.
Ow! I see assholes like you every day.
James Brayshaw.
Every day.
Billy Brownless.
Is this moron number one?
You'll love this one. It's a bit rude.
Put moron number two on the phone.
I've got zero confidence.
What the hell is wrong with you two?
Listening to the Rush Hour.
Triple M.
I feel good.
Oh, nice show. Have a listen to this for a show.
Who?
Sam Doherty from the Blues. We love him, of
Captain.
Course. Back from knee troubles and looking to have a very, very big 2020, and we love him. So he's chatting to us, the skipper. Speaking of skippers, Josh Kennedy.
Wow.
From the Swannies is also on board, one of the best midfielders in the comp and has been for a very long time. That's AFL royalty right there. Yeah. What I'm looking at isn't as much. Hello, Bill.
G'day, Jimmy boy. Very good. Great to be with you on this Thursday, May 7, with
yes.
May Day coming up, Jim. Tomorrow, May Day, and then Monday for Dan, it's May Day.
Come on, unhappy Dan.
Because we've nearly had enough, Jim.
No,
I know him and the health blokes are great, and they've been cautious.
No, we've had enough.
But feeding them, it's time to get the country moving again.
That's it.
It's
get people
time.
Out and about.
It's time to get moving, unlike you, Rabsy.
Oh, the Collingwood boys tackling. Look at the Collingwood boys.
They're
six
into
of them.
They're drying in all of them.
Do a push-up with them on top of you, Jakey.
It's a group drawing.
Oh, Jim.
Push-up. What a champion.
A group drawing.
No, well, I tried. How many times did I try and get the little champ down? It never worked. He just found a way to wriggle out and cause all sorts of mayhem. Push up, King.
Now
what's going on?
I've got a question for you, Jim.
Yes, go.
Are you caught up with this little blue? There's a lot of fights in the media. Everyone's ISO'd had enough. And I see Eddie, our man Eddie, Hot Breakfast Eduardo, taking on my man Sunday Footy Show, Kane Corns, over the Jezelenko mark because Kane Corns reckons there's 10 or 15 better marks. He's a South Australian, as you are. Us Victorians say it's one of the great marks of all time. Where do you sit on this?
I tell you what it tells me, Fat. We need footy back in a hurry.
Yes.
I seriously, if we're arguing over a mark that was taken 50 years ago, then we need the games to restart. Because seriously, we've got all these platforms where people have got to, and you do it brilliantly on Sunday, people have got to get on and talk about stuff.
True.
There's nothing to talk about.
Well, there's no footy, Jim. So.
No, that's it. So we're now manufacturing arguments about something that you normally wouldn't even consider. I love Jez's mark. I think everyone did, mainly because it happened in a grand final and mainly because the call from Mike Williamson is iconic. And therefore, Jezelenko, you'll be
guilty.
Is just, you know, it's etched into the pantheon of our magnificent game. But I'll tell you what, I'll say this about Kane Corns. I'll say two things. Firstly, I love the Corns family. You know I do, Fat. I've been a great mate of the Giants, Graham Corns, for years. I love Chadwick. He's one of my favourites. And I like Kane. I like the fact that he's got the balls to say what he wants to say.
Yes.
He doesn't pull any punches and all of that. So I am a Corns family fan.
Yep.
But I do think we need to start this season again and get rid of all of this ridiculous arguing.
Rabsy?
Mackay to the wing position on the member stand side. Oh, Jezelenko, you're guilty!
Just sums it up. Another question I have for you on that.
Yes.
Jim, are we Victorians biased over here with our little Victorian state and AFL footy and all that?
Oh, well, look, he is a former chairman of a Victorian club, but the facts are there are 10 teams based here, Bill.
Yes.
So to try and get the fixture fair when you've got 10 teams based in the one state and 9 teams in the one city is extraordinarily hard. But I do and I always have felt for the teams, especially in the West, because, as you know, the minimum flight from Perth to play anywhere is 3 hours.
Yeah.
To get to Melbourne, it's 4 hours, and then obviously to go to Sydney and Brisbane and anywhere else is even longer. So they do it tougher than anyone else. They have to travel every second week. It doesn't matter where they go. So I know for a fact that they look at the Richmonds of this world who get to play 7 straight games at the MCG and go, you're kidding yourselves.
Mm.
Now, what do you do about that? How do you fix that? I don't know. I've said this to you many times before, Fat, whilst attendance and revenue are two of the biggest KPIs that the AFL measure themselves by. We're never going to fix this. You're never going to get a fair home and away fixture.
Well, the fixture's not,
No, it is done purely to make money. Let's not make any bones about it. And while that's the case, what we see, we're always going to see. But I totally get what you're hearing from the players from the West and the players from Adelaide. I understand that they would think there's a significant bias against them, don't you?
No. What? I just think they're self-interest, self-indulgent, prejudiced, narrow-minded. They're mean. They're egotistic. They're self-centered, narcissistic, greedy, hoggish.
Narcissistic. Bill, it's not possible, and this has happened for 11 years, so this is not a new thing. It's not possible for me to disagree with you more, and that's a good thing. Because as soon as I start agreeing with you, I'm going to pack up and shuffle off.
We are the centre of football here, bud, in Melbourne. You've got to agree with it.
Yeah, but Bill, like I said on the Saturday Rub, the view of the, especially the teams west of Melbourne, in other words, Adelaide and Perth, the view has always been that the people in Melbourne think that they're lucky to be in their competition.
That's right.
And that's how it's always been. But it isn't right, Bill.
They are lucky.
No, it isn't
they're
right.
lucky to join the VFL, Jim.
Parcel that up, Rabs. We'll send that over to Ruin Dits. Oh. And we'll send it even further over to Xavier Ellis. Oh. And they can play that over there. And good luck getting any gigs over there, fat boy.
Xavier Ellis would be still eating, so you'd miss him. And so would Dits. Dits, he doesn't push the table away. And Bernie, what about Bernie? It might be on Bernie's beef. Hey, just on the footy, Jim, Collingwood are open to restarting the season on Queen's birthday, which is June the 8th, which is still a chance to play June 8th, against Melbourne, the Collingwood-Melbourne game, Queen's birthday, to raise funds for the Fight MND, because there'll be no slide, obviously, this year.
No.
They've got the beanies out now, selling the beanies everywhere, but that would be a nice opener, wouldn't it?
Magnificent opener. Yeah. I'd love to see that. Mm. Good idea.
I like it. I like it, Jim.
All right. What else you got, please?
Just going through here, Jim.
So he's nice and prepared.
Adelaide and Port Adelaide to be granted special exemptions to fly in and out of South Australia, Jim.
Good, because the WA Premier's knocked all that on the head. What about him? Come on, mate. We're trying to get this comp started. Yeah. What the hell are you on about?
Exactly. I can't work that out. He's saying that if they do fly in or out, they've got to go with the 2-week quarantine.
My goodness. Come on, mate. We're trying to start the comp. Let's just make an exemption. All of the West Australian public love footy, as you know, Bill, so they won't give a stuff if the players can fly in and out. Make it happen.
Yeah. No, I'm with you, Jim. And Dan, make it happen.
Yes, agreed.
Because we've got to get this country moving again, Jim. There's economies, there's poor publicans out there, there's shop owners, restaurateurs.
Poor publicans.
That need
restaurateurs. No end in that.
Some money, need some coins. Just a couple of shillings to come through the tills, Jim.
Loose ball, Fisher, handball, here's a goal. Doherty, unguarded goal square, they get the all-important opening goal.
I love Sam Doherty, beautiful, balanced, magnificent user of the ball, Bill, and we haven't seen enough of him, of course, over the journey because he's got himself injured a couple of times with serious knee injuries, but he's back, captain of the Blues, and he joins us now. Sam, nice chatting to you.
Yeah, nice to be here, boys. Thanks for having me on.
Now, how are things going, please? Tell us about your body. This break, has it been good for you?
It's been good in a sense that I've been able to get some more Ks in the legs, but we did have... We had 6 months to do that to get ready for one game. So, it's been good. It's been a good opportunity to get a bit of extra fitness. If I'm honest, I've had that first game back, and then I've tried to put in a big block of work, so I come back in as good a condition I can be for when we get started again.
Hurt the knee in November 2017, in December again. So you played round one this year, as you said. 935 days, Jimmy boy, between drinks. Yep. How did you pull up after that, Docs?
Well, it was funny, actually, because they cut the game a bit shorter. I pulled up a lot better than I thought I was. I was glad the AFL put the game on, though, because I would have approached four figures of days if I didn't get it on. So... It was good to be back out there. It's body's feeling good now, which is great, as it should after 6 to 8 weeks off. So looking forward to whenever we get back training, get back and kicking some footies around and enjoying some time with the teammates again.
And I know it's a while ago, that game, but it's our first chat to you. How did you go with speed of the game? After missing that much footy, was it pinging around and you were struggling to catch up with it, or did you just take back to it like always?
I've probably found a trend across the first few games I played in terms of the March series in round one. The first quarters have been a little bit scratchy for me, which was starting to annoy me a little bit. But once we sort of got into the flow of the game and I've been out there for a little bit longer, I sort of worked my way into the back end of games a lot better. So hopefully when we get back, it's sort of Had a taste for it now. I know what to expect. It's not as a bigger build-up as it was leading into round one for me. So fingers crossed I can get some form back once we get back and have a good year.
So all the interstate players have been summoned back to Carlton, like every other club. And when do you reckon you'll start? Will you train on Monday?
Well, I don't know. It's we're sort of waiting for this meeting. That's I think the cabinet meeting's today.
Tomorrow.
I think. Yeah. Tomorrow or yeah, the tomorrow. Announcement's tomorrow or something. So as soon as we get some a bit of information off them, that should be able to get us either back, hopefully within the next 2 weeks would be nice.
Yeah.
But I'm not really sure whether it's next Monday, the Monday after, or the Monday after that. I think it's we're just depending on what the government allows us to do, really.
Oh, we're hoping mid-June. That'd be a nice time to come back and start playing AFL footy. Hey, part of your captaincy duties is to get around the 45 players and make sure everyone's okay. And I imagine you've put some time into Charlie Curnow. That's not a good story.
No, he's the poor bloke's. He can't catch a break at the moment. The poor fella. The first surgery was pretty tough on him, and then to get the setback and then the setback again, it's been pretty frustrating year for him. And I've checked in on him a few times. He seems to be like he's going okay. He understands the bigger picture of where his knee's at, and hopefully we can get him back fit and firing as soon as we can. When that is, I've got absolutely no idea. It's one of those things that hope he gets a clean run at it and it all heals well and we can see him back playing footy, which is what he loves to do and what I love to see him do. So we'll just wait and see. It's tough times for the young fella. He's getting injured. It's not much fun, I can tell you that much.
No, and we all want to see him out there. Hey, what about Eddie Betts and Jack Martin? You've been...
Eddie Betts
calling them.
I spoke to... I had both of them on a meeting this morning. They're both going really well. Jack's been up in Gold Coast, so he'll be making the trip down probably as we speak, actually, getting ready for when we get back. And Eddie's progressing really well from his calf, so he'll be ready to go once the time we get back in pre-season. It's pretty exciting to think that they'll both be playing. I think we've seen what Jack's going to offer us in round one, and then we already know what Eddie's going to bring. So exciting prospect for our forward line, that's for sure.
And tearing up the drawer and starting again, Samuel?
Yeah, apparently. I only read that yesterday, that we're getting a new drawer, and that'll be interesting. I don't know who will play, but I'm assuming that's going to be based off the fact that we might have to do some away trips where we play two games or whatever in those times. So it was obviously going to have to change a little bit, but we'll go with the flow. And when we find out where we're playing, we can put some study in, and we'll get ready for them as soon as we know.
Talking to Sam Doherty, we'll take a break. Sam, just hang around, mate. We'll come back because I want to ask you about your wedding and the bridal party. Because Jim,
we got a little.
It's a kleptic group.
Now, Bill, just a little. You need to be a little careful because, we're talking to Sam Doherty.
Lovely Natalie.
No, we know that, but things got a little...
Well, out of hand, Jim.
Bill.
Had locked in the... I think he got married there in the botanical gardens. Very, very nice, beautiful lakes and trees. The trees are that good you can sleep under them for a night. But, now, Docs, how did that wedding go? Because it sounded a very good wedding. Man. I just want to run you past the bridal party, first of all. You had Patrick Cripps, fair enough, superstar. Dylan Buckley, Lockie Henderson, and Daniel Gorringe. It's an interesting group there, mate.
Yeah, I'm glad you left out Nick Graham. He's used to being left out in these sorts of things in this conversation.
Sorry, Nick. Nick Graham? Where was he in your bloody research?
Well, chill.
And my brother, my poor old brother Josh gets left out all the time.
Josh, come on, Bill.
No, it's a good crew. It was a good laugh. They're my close bunch of mates, and I get to see them regularly. They're a good bunch, and we had a great day. It was a very nice day. I got to marry my lovely wife now. Yeah. I've been together for 10 odd years, I think it is at the moment. So it's been a fair stint so far.
Is she Cal's girl?
Yeah, she's from down Phillip Island way as well. Went to school together, and and the rest is history now.
Now, mate, normally when you have, now I'm just going to have to quickly, because you've added a couple, one, two, three, four, you had six groomsmen.
Yeah.
Normally when that happens, that's because the Dahl has said, I'm having six bridesmaids, so you better find six mates. Is that what happened here?
Well, usually that's what happens, but my wife only had three, so.
Two each.
I couldn't nail mine down, so I just if I was going to go over one, I thought I'd just choose exactly who I want to be in it and who was going to make me have the best day. So that's what I did. And,
who did the speech?
Who did the speech in the end? Lachie Henderson did the speech.
Oh, Lachlan. Very nice.
Yeah, he's very, very, very good. He was,
he's polished.
It was a very good speech.
You didn't get Gorringe to do too much, hopefully.
No, no, he was he's one of the extras. He just sort of stood around and... Dill Buckley was my MC.
Dill.
Nick Graham carried the rings, so they all had little roles throughout the day.
Did Dan know at that stage he was heading into the Big Brother house, Samuel?
I'm not 100% sure whether he knew anything about that or if he was or he'd even gone in there.
Yeah, well, not yet. Did everyone get home that night? Bill. Everyone get home that night?
Yeah, everyone went home. There's been a few stories that had a few Chinese whispers, and as you know, when a whisper starts, someone throws a little bit of mayo on the end of it as it goes around, and I think the end point ended up somehow in the media, which went from someone sitting on the ground waiting for an Uber to they slept in the botanical garden. So
that's what I heard. Because I run around there. I live there close by, and I run around there, Sam, and I saw a couple, but that's all right. Lachie Henderson was one. Drunk as a lord, he was.
No, he wasn't.
No. Hey, you barracked for Carlton as a kid, didn't you? Loved the Blues.
Yes, I did. I was pretty swiftly brainwashed by my old man, actually, so didn't have much of a choice.
And then you went up to Brisbane, of course, didn't like it up there, couldn't wait to come back, and then just settle with the Blue Baggers. How good's that?
Yeah, no, I was lucky enough once I made the decision to come back to Victoria that Carlton wanted me, and it was a really good fit, which if hindsight's a wonderful thing, I think I've chose the right decision and chose the right club for me and my career. So,
tell us one thing you've done during lockdown that you didn't think you'd do.
I painted a picture of my dog, and I drew a really poor picture of my wedding party, which was not great. I failed art in school, so why I thought that it'd be a smart idea to do it was beyond me, but I did anyway. I'm slowly going insane, so I'm really looking forward to get back and playing footy and getting back on the golf course is the other thing. I'm standing in my spare bedroom swinging a 60-degree around at the moment. So
how's your chipping? I go from one end of the house to the other. If I'm not the best chipper and putter when I get out of here, I'll go heat. It's unreal, isn't it, Docs?
It's literally all you do. I got table tennis balls and I just flick them around the house.
Beautiful, mate. Hey, we can't wait either. So we hope you go beautifully when you get back as the captain of the Blues, and a big year for your famous footy club.
Thanks, guys. Thanks for having me on.
Now, Bill, on Instagram, and not on @JamesBrayshaw Global and Trending, which is the number one site, but I saw today Marty Fields. You remember Marty Fields?
Oh, I've worked with Marty Fields. I love Marty Fields.
Hey, hey, it's Saturday fame. Of course, his old man, a legend, used to do the joke off with Shane Bourne. I love him. Beautiful. Anyway, he's been sitting at home at the piano, because a very talented musician as much as a very funny man.
Yeah.
And he has penned an isolation version of Up There Kazali, which is actually bloody funny. Have a listen.
There's a lot of things to football that I must admit I miss. I miss $14 bourbons. I miss queuing up to piss. I miss seats that have no leg room. I miss $20 to park. I miss our $1 million forward missing another mark. But the virus f***ed the football. The game's been locked away. They played round one in a ghost town when no one watched them play. Yeah, the virus f***ed it's done the game no good. I'd give anything to watch a game, even Collingwood. Even Collingwood.
Ah,
very good.
Well done, Marty. That is fantastic. He's a very clever man. Very funny man, Jim.
No, an extraordinarily funny man. As I say, of Hey Hey at Saturday fame, 27 years of dominance.
That's right.
But I like that. I like any man, Bill, that works hard when he's doing bugger all.
That's it. Like me and you. Oh, Jimmy boy, what about this, our next guest? Have a look at the numbers here. You ready?
Love him. Yes, please.
Premiership player, of course.
Yep.
Three All-Australians.
Yes.
611 goals over 243 games with West Coast and Carlton, Jim.
Bill.
Two Coleman medals, Jim. Two.
Bill. No, Bill.
Two Ross Glendening medals.
I don't reckon you got the right bloke, Bill.
And welcome, Josh Kennedy, to the Rush Hour. G'day, Josh.
G'day, boys. I'll take those stats, though.
Now, Josh, of course, superstar of the Sydney Swans. Is that the first time anyone's tried to run that joke by you?
I've certainly heard it before, Jim, a number of times, but I think that's the first time anyone's actually done it as a joke.
Why? Has someone fair dinkum?
Yeah, especially up here, early days in New South Wales.
Well, I don't know, Bill, unless you're related, like obviously Gary Ablett's junior and senior. I don't know whether two people with the exact same name have had such unbelievable careers, because you talk about the premierships, of course. This gentleman's a 247 gamer,
yep,
co-captain, but a three-time best and fairest, three-time All-Australian, best player in the finals in 2016, where he tore that series to shreds.
Yes.
Third in the 2017 Brownlow. So he's had an incredible career and comes from one of the amazing football families.
Yeah, John Kennedy, of course, is your dad. But I want to know about John Kennedy Sr., well-renowned three-time premiership coach. He'd be a fair age now, I reckon, Joshy boy. How's he going, mate?
Yeah, Bill, he's 91 at the moment. So he's hanging in there. But he's going through a bit of a rough time recently in the last few years.
Right.
But he's still got his wits about him.
Josh, I can tell you this out of personal experience, obviously, having had a decade on the board of the North Melbourne Football Club. The great Kanga Kennedy and the reverence with which he's spoken within the four walls of that club is quite extraordinary, to the point where every time he's mentioned, and if he's ever mentioned around people like Darren Crocker and Donald McDonald and the blokes that played through the era that he was the coach, they actually lower their tone a bit. It's quite extraordinary.
It's no surprise from my end, and it's very nice to hear such kind words spoken about him to the end of the day. So,
hey, how's life up in Sydney, mate, with the ISO? You can do a few things up there that we can't hear in Victoria. I think you guys can play golf and you can go fishing, can't you?
Yeah, the golf courses are open. You can go fishing. Sure. They've opened up the beaches on the weekdays, which is nice. So everything's sort of pointing in the right direction. Hopefully it continues that way.
Well, that's called living normally, and maybe we should try it down here from Monday onwards. Hey, Josh, what about the... Tell us about this recent, spat's probably too harsh a word, but this recent thing that's bubbled up where West Coast Eagles and Freo players and Port and Adelaide players have talked about the perception of a Victorian bias and how Victorian people don't quite understand how hard it is for interstate clubs. You've experienced both. Tell us your thoughts.
Oh, gee, a bit of a can of worms there, boys. I'm not too sure. I can understand where they're coming from. The interstate clubs, obviously, with travelling a lot more often. The powers that be do a pretty good job, I think, even through this period of time, to be commended how well it's been managed, I believe. I can just imagine how difficult it is. Anyone that's in a leadership role, how tough it must be to be managed through this period. And I think everyone's done a pretty good job.
Hey, Joshy, how's everything at home, mate? The lovely Anna, of course, from Colombia. You actually went back there and got married there. How was all that over there? Because when I think of Colombia, I think coffee.
Gee, we got married, in 2015. Feels like a while ago now.
5 years,
So, you know, given everything that's happened now and the likelihood of not being able to travel, certainly internationally for a while, it was a great experience to be able to spend so much time over there with the family. And it certainly opened my eyes to a whole new life that I certainly didn't plan, you know, when I was a young kid.
That
I'd have extended family over the other side of the world.
Hey, Josh, I want to ask you about your time at Hawthorn. You played with some real reptile-style units. I'm talking about Crawford, Osborne, Sewell, Brown,
Mark Graham,
Hebe, Bud, Birch, Quera. Do you catch up, or do you, when you come to Melbourne, do you just avoid all of those blokes?
No, to be honest, I don't see a lot of them anymore. But I was a very small fish in a big pond back there, mate, and I treasured the time I got with Croft, but it wasn't much.
Two good-looking roosters there.
Yeah, a lot of roosters there. But Campbell Brown, I still keep in contact with. He was a great mentor for me back in Hawthorn days.
Speaking of which, the Sydney Swans partner, can you ever listen to this, Bill?
I'm listening.
34 years QBE insurance. That is sticking with the footy club. And by the way, they have been incredibly well looked after because the Swans have been amazing, played in that many final series and prelims and grannies and all the rest of it. But they, through a QBE, by the way, the Sydney Swans give you the chance to relive countless big moments. Visit QBE Swan Story. That's QBESwanStory.com.au to create and share your QBE Swan Story today. And Joey, we all know how tough sponsors are to hang on to at a footy club, and QBE have been great for you.
They certainly have. And, you know, it's not the first time that we're going through tough times as a footy club at the moment, and they've had to ride the wave a few times in the 34-year history. So it goes both ways, and we are proud to be associated with them. We hope that they are with us.
Good on you, Joshy boy.
Get down to the beach at Cottesloe
and enjoy that, Joshy, all right?
No, I will, boys. I will.
Do everything we can't do. Thanks very much for that, Josh.
No, guys. See you later.
Now, Bill, but just please, something humorous.
It's cheap.
In the day with a laugh, this is Billy's joke.
Oh, great feedback on the jockey joke yesterday, let me tell you.
It wouldn't have been.
It's been very good. I know you two give me nothing, but a lot of people, I get a lot of pats on the backs out there.
Well, I can't. No, social distancing.
Well, they want to.
No, you don't.
Jim.
Nathan sent me a text. It wasn't even an email.
What did Nathan say?
Bill's jokes are shit. That's what his text said. Bill, I'm telling you. And I said, oh, really?
Oh,
like you're telling me. I have to listen to him every day. What do you think about my Nike hat, by the way? Visor.
Visor.
No, I'm wearing a visor every day.
Crap. Have you got any visors sent to you?
Bill, we only did it last night. Had one day. Well, they'll come thundering in.
All right, now,
a joke, please.
Yes, please. A young man walks into the pharmacist, Jim.
What?
The chemist.
Okay, oh, thank you, Bill.
The pharmacy.
Yeah, that's it.
A young man walks into the pharmacy and asks the man behind the counter for a pack of 3 condoms, Jim.
Yes.
I think I'll be needing these tonight, he says. I'm going to my girlfriend's house for dinner, and I'm sure her older sister and her mum both fancy me also. I'm a big chance. They're all gorgeous, and I'm a big chance with the 3 of them. That night, he sits down at the table with the 3 ladies. When the father comes in, the young man immediately bows his head, Jim, and prays for 5 minutes. His girlfriend leans over and says, I didn't know you were so religious. He replies, I didn't know your dad owned the f***ing pharmacy.
Oh, no. Come on.
Again.
Come on, Bill. And he's eyeing off his wife.
He was a chance for the 3 of them.
Come on, Bill. Not bad.
Not bad.
Not bad. Not bad.
Well done, Bill. You didn't get it, Raps. The 3.
No, I got it. And then the F-bomb as well.
Well, you can edit that out.
No.
Please. You could joke again, Bill.
That's your best for the week.
A good week of jokes. I might just batch them up and sell them. Bill, you are king of Geelong. You are the king of
the Devon. Triple M's rush hour is done for another day.
I've had enough of Bill.
But Ream hot water heaters are still working. Ask your plumber to install a Ream.
Steady, hot and strong.